Voice of Indonesia.
www.voinews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine today. I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And listeners, I also hope that you are also fine and you can also listen to our program for today. And I would like to share to you about our news, commentary, and also Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin our program with news read by Daulat Panai. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia firmly opposes palm oil discrimination in the European Union. Indonesian Consulate General in Hong Kong closed for elections. Indonesian Trade Ministry facilitates small and medium enterprises with assist. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Daulat Panai. Indonesia's delegation and other Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, CPOPC members, have steadfastly expressed their objection to the European Union over discrimination against palm oil. The CPOPC disagrees with the delegated act put forward by the European Union that categorizes palm oil as unsustainable and places it in the indirect land use chains or ILUC category, according to a joint statement issued Tuesday after the CPOPC meeting in Brussels, jointly led by Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution and Malaysian Ministry of Primary Industry Secretary General Tan Yu Chang. The Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, CPOPC, has been a vocal critic of the European Union using the Delegated Act to phase out and enforce a ban on palm oil imports into the European Union mandated renewable energy sector in a bid to promote other vegetable oils. This double standard is apparent from the fact that the European Union does not bar the use of soybeans, whose destructive role as being causal to deforestation has come to light. The Indonesian Consulate General in Hong Kong will be temporarily closed for public activities except for immigration services until April 30, Consulate General Triharyat said on Tuesday that this was because some 7.2 tons of ballast packed into 362 sealed packages were being stored on the office's fourth floor since March 31st. Some 140,000 Indonesian diaspora and migrant workers in Hong Kong will cast their ballots at the 32 polling stations from April 7 to April 14. According to the Indonesian Overseas Elections Committee in Hong Kong, a total of 180,232 Indonesian diaspora in China were registered to vote. Similar to other overseas polling stations, the voting in Hong Kong will be held on April 17. For this year's election, Haryat said that polling stations were set up across three locations, including at Victoria Park, to avoid disturbances. Small and medium enterprises in Indonesia currently have online profits through ASEAN Solutions for Investments, Services and Trade, ASIST. The system is aimed to overcome trading issues among ASEAN countries. The ASIST online facility was developed with the support of the European Union. Met after the outreach event in Pullman Hotel, Jakarta on Tuesday, Director of Trade Negotiation Services, Director General of International Trade Negotiation, Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Iskandar Panjaitan, said that this organization facilitates Indonesian business owners to know more about trade foreign policy, especially in ASEAN.
Ini antar negara ASEAN, 10 negara ASEAN. Jadi,
this is an issue among 10 ASEAN countries. Trade has only domestic competence, but it has no competency in other ASEAN member countries. They will later become facilitators. If there are questions from our business people or our investors about policies made by Thailand, for example, they can express it through assist. Then the assist management will ask the focal point designated in other countries. Indonesia's focal point is trade.
Di negara lain. Kalau di kita kan focal point-nya adalah di perdagangan.
With the assist facility, business owners will be facilitated to express their complaint by online system to ASEAN member countries when facing export problems. In his remarks, the head of the European Union delegation for Indonesia, Rafael Quarto, said that assist was designed for the private sectors, and the European Union considered assist as an instrument to facilitate the development of intra-ASEAN trade. ASEAN is also the main key to solving the problem of cross-border trade through a simple procedure. The European Union also encouraged the Indonesian business community to take full advantage from the free online service. Indonesia has been named as the world's best halal tourist destination based upon Global Muslim Travel Index GMTI 2019, outclassing 130 destinations across the world. Mastercard Crescent Rating Agency put Indonesia on the first place based on GMTI standard with a score of 78, along with Malaysia on the upper ranking, Crescent Rating CEO Fazal Bahardin while delivering GMTI Report 2019 set in Jakarta on Tuesday. To become the best tourist destination in the world, Indonesia has made serious efforts by, among others, adopting Indonesian Muslim Travel Index, IMTI, which refers to GMTI standard. The GMTI report analysis halal tourism based on four criteria, including access, communication, environment, and services, of which IMTI has also adopted. Indonesia has also aggressively provided technical coaching and organized workshops to operators of 10 excellent halal tourist destinations in the country. Indonesia has targeted to attract 20 million tourists this year, of which 5 million will travel to the country on halal tourism. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Ministry of Tourism has encouraged all tour and travel agencies incorporated in the Association of the Indonesian Tours and Travel Agencies, ASITA, to move forward and start using digital platforms for their business. The use of digital platforms is the best business doing transformation to be carried out by the country's tour and travel industry, since almost 70% of tourists visiting Indonesia have taken advantages of online services for all of their traveling needs, said Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya in Jakarta on Thursday. The tourism minister delivered his statement during the ASITA's national work meeting held at the Sabta Pesona building. Minister Arif Yahya hopes that the cooperation between tour operators and travel agencies incorporated in ASITA can help improve the competitiveness of national tourism sector. Some 500 Indonesian students from various universities in 13 Asia-Pacific nations will be part of a symposium on digital revolution in Tianjin, China, on April 16 to 19. The General Chairman of the Indonesian Students Association, PPI, in China, Fatlan Mujaki, said that the People's Republic of China has been selected to host this symposium as it has been readying for the Fifth Industrial Revolution Industry 5.0. In a conversation with Antara in Jakarta, Mujaki highlighted the importance of Indonesia taking a cue from China, taking into account its experience in the implementation of the Industry 4.0 through the symposium theme, The Millennials' Role in Accelerating the Industry 4.0. Students from Australia, Brunei, the Philippines, India, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, New Zealand, Singapore, Taiwan, Thailand, Sri Lanka and China will take part in the event, in which Creative Economy Agency Backcrop head Triawan Munaf will act as keynote speaker. During the 4-day-long symposium, The student participants will hold discussions on key issues that throw challenges and opportunities for Indonesia's millennial generation in the digital era, as well as cover national matters pertaining to revitalization and cybersecurity. The Central Java Immigration Authorities have sent back 37 foreign nationals to their countries of origin during the January to March 2019 period over violation of immigration laws. Chief of the Central Java Immigration Division of the Law and Human Rights Ministry, Ramli S., stated in Magelang on Tuesday that the duo from Malaysia and Yemen are awaiting a full justitia process. The Central Java Immigration Office had, in 2018, deported 197 foreigners without a pro justitia process, while 9 others were subject to a pro justitia process. The cause for deportation. The cause for deportation of some of the 37 foreigners was overstaying in the area despite their visas having expired, while the others were in the net for abuse of their immigration permits. Ramli remarked that 525 foreigner supervisory teams were currently in place in the province, comprising 32 district-level teams and 493 sub-district-level teams. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is about final deadline for Theresa May's political struggle on Brexit. After losing support in Parliament regarding her agreement with the European Union, British Prime Minister Theresa May tried hard to find a way out by approaching German and French leaders. On Wednesday, 10 April 2019 local time, Theresa May, who also failed to get the support of her own party, tried to win over the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron. From the President's office in Paris, confirmation was obtained that Emmanuel Macron was willing to meet Theresa May. Previously in Berlin, the British Prime Minister, who had lost support in the British Parliament, had met Angela Merkel. Merkel spokesman Stefan Schäuble said the two leaders had exchanged ideas about the possibility of an extension of UK deadline to exit Brexit. To her German counterpart, Theresa May requested that Merkel convince UK leaders to give an extension of the time originally set for April 12. Predictably, the same request was also be presented by Theresa May when meeting Emmanuel Macron in Paris. From Berlin, news was received that Germany had asked Britain to show substantial steps towards resolving its political deadlock domestically. Previously, under the end of the meeting in Brussels, European Union leaders stressed that they would not provide an extension for time for Britain without a clear agenda from the government of Parliament. So far, Theresa May has lost support in Parliament, including from the party she leads. In this situation, Theresa May must try her best to convince the French President and German Chancellor that at home, she will be able to find a breakthrough to end the political deadlock. However, from the German Chancellor's office, there was a news that Germany had not yet obtained clarity about the substantive steps that will be taken by Theresa May in her country. If in the end, the European Union leaders decide that they will not extend the deadline for the official release of Britain from the European Union, then the UK must leave the European Union on April 12 without any agreement at all. The European Union had previously agreed to extend the deadline for Britain to exit Brexit. Theresa May only had 2 days until April 14 before European leaders held a summit to decide Britain's fate. It was a very short time that would determine the future of Brexit and also Theresa May's political career as the Prime Minister of England. Listener, that was commentary.
www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, if you want to know much more deeply about the historical events on 10th April, now I'd like to give you our next segment, what we call Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
today in history that happened on April 10. I will begin from April 10, 1919. The Mexican revolutionary leader Emiliano Zapata was shot dead. Emiliano Zapata Salazar was one of the leaders in Mexican Revolution against dictator Porfirio Diaz in 1910. Emiliano Zapata was considered a Mexican national hero. He actively defended the rights of the Indian population in Morelos, who received unfair treatment from the landlords, because the government acted too slowly and favored the landlords. Zapata began to form an army that took over disputed lands. On April 9, 1990, Colonel Jesus Guajardo met Zapata and stated that he intended to join the revolutionaries. Zapata agreed. However, it turned out that Guajardo and his followers trapped him. Zapata was shot dead on April 10, 1919. Turning now to April 10, 1946, the French army is leaving Lebanon. April 10, 1946, French last soldier left Lebanon. France occupied Lebanon and Syria in 1918, following the end of the First World War and the fragmentation of the area under the Ottoman Caliphate in Turkey. However, when World War II broke out and France was controlled by Germany, power over Lebanon changed hands to Germany. In 1941, various developments in the war made Lebanon again fell into the hands of Allied forces. The French army then regained control of Lebanon. In 1949, Lebanon proclaimed its independence, although the French army still remained entrenched in the region. Various diplomatic negotiations between the leaders of the Lebanese struggle and the French government resulted in an agreement on the departure of France from Lebanon. I will end today in history with April 10, 2010. President of the Republic of Poland is killed in a plane accident. The fourth president of the Republic of Poland, Lech Kaczyński, was killed after his Polish Air Force Tu-154 plane crashed outside Smolensk, Russia. His wife Maria Kaczyńskina and an economic observer were also among the dead. After Kaczyński's death was announced, a week of mourning was announced by the acting president of Poland from April 11 to 18. President of the Republic of Poland and his wife were buried on April 18 in an underground room at the Wawel Cathedral. Listener, that was today in history.
Selalu meresap beragu. Mungkinkah
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you have just listened music from Bening with title Salam Semata. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And for today's edition, I would also like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia titled, Indonesian Shoes Production Ranks the Fourth in the World. Indonesian shoes production ranks the fourth in the world after China, India, and Vietnam, with a total production of 1.4 billion pairs of shoes in 2018. Indonesia accounts for 4.6% of the global footwear production. In addition, Indonesia becomes the fourth biggest footwear consumer, amounting to 886 million pairs of footwear. This were stated by Director General of Small Medium Enterprises at the Ministry of Trade, Gati Wibowoningsi, in her press release statement received in Jakarta on Sunday. Gati further stated that currently the number of footwear industry in Indonesia reaches more than 18,000 business units. Most of them consist of small enterprises. 441 of them are medium enterprises, while 155 others are large enterprises. Thousands of these footwear enterprises had absorbed more than 7,500 workers. Gati Wibowoningsi explained that the Ministry of Industry provides an opportunity for young generations to participate in Indonesia Footwear Competition 2019 or IFCC 2019 in a bid to support the development of Indonesian footwear industry, especially small and medium enterprises. Gati Wibowoningsi explained that Indonesia Footwear Creative Competition 2019 is a 3-in-1 creative footwear competition comprising design, photography, and videography. The competition is initiated by Indonesian Footwear Industry Development Agency, or BPIP, based in Sidoarjo, East Java, which is a task force unit under Directorate General of Small, Medium, and Various Enterprises at Indonesian Trade Ministry. Gati pointed out that BPIP focuses on the improvement of human resources, advancement of knowledge and technology in footwear industry, as well as standardization of footwear products. Indonesia Footwear Creative Competition is going to be held by BPIP in collaboration with Petra Christian University of Surabaya. Gati perceived that young generations these days have always been fond of channeling their ideas through design and product visualization, either as commercial activities or merely as hobbies. Therefore, through IFCC 2019, BPIP would like to facilitate young generations to explore more about footwear industry, as well as convince them about the significance of footwear industry in the fashion development. Most importantly, through the event, BPIP would like also to encourage young generations to utilize the opportunities of footwear industry in establishing prospective business in the future. Gati Wibowoningsi expressed her appreciation for East Java government's contribution to actively stimulating the development of creative industry through millennial job centers. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Gejolak imanmu korban kemelut biru tak tahu apa yang kau cari semua tak pasti ha dirindiri gerak suaramu yang tak tentu arah tak tahu cari semua tak pasti Tudu-dari cara melayang pikiranmu melayang hayalanmu melayang jauh melayang anganmu melayang terbawa asap nirwana sekejap tenggelam karismamu menghilang tak tahu apa yang terjadi semua tak pasti
Listeners, that was song from 2D with title Melayang. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And in this case, I would also like to give you about next information. This is about Indonesian tourism related to local wisdom. Here it is, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you to visit a place called Batu Cermin Cave in Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. Like an incident in a science fiction book, Batu Cermin Cave, which is also called Watu Cermin by local people, is able to reflect the light on the stone's wall to another area in the cave. Just like a mirror, the cave is unlike other caves, is able to muffle sound, so there is no echo which is caused by the sound. The cave can be accessed from Labuan Bajo around 15 minutes by using car or motorcycle. Its road is relatively smooth. Along the street, your eyes will be spoiled with green hills and trees. At Batu Cermin Cave, visitors can visit a restaurant and parking area, which is quite wide. After buying tickets, visitors should walk around 300 meters to access the cave. You don't have to worry to get bored because there is a cluster of shady bamboo trees which will spoil your eyes. Sometimes the visitors will see monkeys which are hanging on tree or sitting on the left and the right of the road. Batu Cermin Cave has gotten attention for the first time by the world in 1951 due to archaeologists' research who was also missionaries from the Netherlands, Theodor Verhoeven. Million years ago, the cave's position was under the sea. In the past, there was earthquake, so that some regions on Flores Island sunk, but there was also some regions arose to the surface. One of them is Batu Cermin Cave. The reflection of the sun at the valley can light up around 60% of the cave. But this moment does not happen every day. It depends on the movement of the earth and position of the sun. The reflection of the light can enter the cave has become the original name of the cave. A 20 to 30 minutes tourism activity in Batu Cermin Cave will make the visitors remember the past story of Flores by witnessing historical heritages such as animals, fossils, and coral reefs that are still well protected. The uniqueness makes tourist attraction never empty of visitors, both domestic and international. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening.
Semakin menyerang kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran, namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwaku. Andaikan ku dapat
www.voinews.id. You have just listened music from the Cinnamons with title Selamanya Cinta. And listeners, for the next segment, I would like to present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesia. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Lessons in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Berapa Lama or How Long? Next is a conversation about berapa lama or how long. Tony is in Prambanan Temple area along with his friend Joko. Joko wants to know about Tony's plan to stay in Jogja.
Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja?
Seminggu.
Oh, hanya sebentar.
Iya.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Berapa lama? Berapa lama, which means how long. Akan? Akan, which means will. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how long will you stay in Jogja? Seminggu. Seminggu, which means one week. Hanya sebentar. Hanya sebentar, which means only a few days. To ask duration in general, you can use the word berapa lama. For examples, berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how long will you live in Jogja? But you can ask someone specifically by using unit of time, like berapa jam or how many hours, berapa hari or how many days, berapa minggu or how many weeks, berapa tahun or how many years. For examples, Tony, berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Which means, how many years have you lived in London? Joko, 2 tahun. 2 tahun, which means 2 years. Joko, berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja?
which means, how many weeks will you stay in Jogja? Tony, seminggu, seminggu, which means 1 week. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja?
Seminggu.
Oh, hanya sebentar.
Iya.
Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Kalau aku kehilangan terus.
Listeners, you have just listened music from Baim with title Kau Milikku. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Now, I would like to inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. For today's edition, I would like to present a song to you from East Kalimantan, titled Nasi Bekepor. Besides being the title of song, Nasi Bekepor is a special food from Kutai and East Kalimantan. The lyrics tell about the rice added with pumpkin soup, mustard greens, eggplant, catfish or blackfish. Nasi Bekepor is more delicious if it is eaten with peanut sauce. The most appropriate moment to eat nasi bekepor is at lunch time with family. Historically, nasi bekepor is a typical cuisine from Kutai Kartanegara. However, in the past time, only King of Kutai who allowed to enjoy the traditional cuisine, since the food was especially served for the king. For those who are interested in enjoying the food, you may listen to the song Nasi Bekepor by Nadira Arisanti. Happy listening!
Of Indonesia.
datang ke sini, hinggap di ranting pohon wangi.
Listeners, thank you very much for your kind attention and time to listen to our program for 60 minutes. And don't go anywhere, because after this, you can also listen to our another program. And please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Twitter at Voi Indonesia, and also send to our email address voi@voinews.id. Listeners, thank you very much and bye-bye.